worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so that they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. Then they briefly reported all this to Peter and his companions. Afterward, Jesus himself sent them out from east to west with the sacred and unfailing message of salvation that gives eternal life. Amen. After Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe her. Afterward, he appeared in a different form to two of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief, because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And then he told them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. All of Mark chapter 16. Father, thank you once again for your word, and thank you for the fact that your word guides us, molds us, shapes us, empowers us, counsels us, and does so, so much more for us. But also your word teaches us how to listen to you and follow you. Lord, you've called all of us into the world of being missionaries sent into a world to carry the greatest news the world has ever heard. Your Son is risen and has provided a way for salvation for us all. Help us to know, Lord, that all of us have a responsibility in carrying out the work of the Great Commission, and help us to be about that every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of faith. Thank you so much that Jesus came in the form of a man, that he came and died on the cross, and that he was resurrected, and that he invites us into his resurrection life. Thank you so much for grace and mercy. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. And Father, we praise you that you call us to so much greater things. Heavenly Father, we just come to you these moments to see what you have for us today, and help us to be fully, fully invested in your voice and what you have to say today. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're continuing to remind and encourage every one of us, everyone that's a part of our listening family. We're inviting and asking you, please pray much for us as we're having our first pregnancy banquet for the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. We are a mobile medical pregnancy ministry serving in the Mississippi Delta. And our first fundraising banquet is Tuesday, the 26th. We're asking you to please pray for the Lord to mightily anoint the event. And pray for the Lord to prosper spiritually and financially. Your prayers are very much appreciated, and we appreciate you being a part of our prayer family. The website for more information about the ministry is deltapchc.org. Again, that's deltapchc.org. We are very honored and blessed to have with us in studio today Charlie and Teresa Seelan. They are individuals who have been missionaries over many decades serving in the nation of Japan. Charlie and Teresa, how are you all today?
Doing well, thank you.
Great, thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Honored to have you, and I had the privilege of meeting Ms. Teresa a few months back insofar as in your present work, you're actually working with pregnancy clinics, and you were very helpful to us as we were preparing for our banquet, as I just alluded to. But an honor to have met you, and today had the privilege of meeting Charlie as well. I'm going to ask if each of you, we'll start with Charlie and then Teresa, further introduce yourselves to our listeners, and then we want to dive right in and let you share about your missional journey to the nation of Japan.
Sure. My name is Charles Seelan, and Teresa and I both are from Oklahoma. We met in college, and it was through that time that God started kind of molding and shaping our hearts for the nations. And so we'll share more about that later on. We married in 88, and then I went to seminary there in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. And then from there, God just moved us to overseas. We have two children, both made in Japan. So I kid around and tell them that I'm going to that's stamped on the rear end, and my son just turned 31. He said, I'm going to get that tattoo, Dad, so you stop telling that white lie. But yeah, our son, Colin, he's 31. Hannah just turned 28. And we're fortunate as missionary families to have both our kids here in the Tupelo area with us. So after they left for college, we didn't have them around for a while, but we've come full circle, and we're grateful to be here now on this side of the Pacific, but also on this side of the Mississippi. So it's pretty nice.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Yes, we're really thankful to be here. I am, after returning from Japan, and we'll talk a little bit about that journey later, but the Lord opened up an opportunity for me to serve at Parkgate Pregnancy Clinic here in Tupelo, and we're a nonprofit clinic. I serve as the donor development director there, and, you know, just to see how the Lord weaves a beautiful tapestry of our lives, you know, and to go from being in Japan and sharing the gospel now to here on this side sharing the gospel and seeing how the Lord's saving lives through your ministry there in the Delta and also here, just really thankful for the opportunity to be at Parkgate and to just see how the Lord is expanding our work there as well as we go into new build this next year and being able to reach even more families and provide that long-term support that they need.
Mm. Well, again, grateful to have you all here. And how many decades were you all in Japan?
We were there for 3 decades, 30
three
years.
30 years.
Okay. So that makes you all part Japanese, I guess, then. So, okay.
Our hearts are, I would say our hearts are definitely, they say, you know, when you fly back home, you know, it takes only so many hours to get here, but your heart, you know, is following, it takes a lot longer to get back.
But, amen. All right. Well, I'm going to ask if Charlie and Teresa, would you all, before we dive into you sharing about your journey, pray for our listeners that they'll receive what the Lord wants to share with them through the broadcast in it, because there are probably people listening who God's going to call them into the mission field probably through the broadcast and others. But I think in the truest sense of the word, he's going to call every listener into the mission field in the sense of better understanding that all of us are called to be on mission actually every single day. But there may be others who will give their life to Christ as a result of what they hear. So if you all would just each pray for God's Spirit to speak to every listener.
Father, we are truly grateful that you call us to be on mission with you. Lord, we do pray that if there are those that are listening today, that you have put that call in their lives to go overseas. You've put that call in their lives to serve here in the States or just across the street. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bring great fruition from that. Lord, I pray that there are those that maybe don't even know you, but today just turned this broadcast on and are hearing. Lord, we know that it is your desire that all would come to know you and to have that special relationship. And Lord, through that, we would, through our testimony and through our daily lives, Lord, that we would share with others the greatest thing that has ever happened to us. And that is coming to faith in you and to walk every day with you. And so, Lord, I do pray for those that are listening today, wherever they are, whatever is going on in their lives, Lord, that today they would be blessed. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I just agree with Teresa. You know, we're just a couple from Oklahoma. Our lives were just very normal. We graduated from high school, went into college, just was going to set up a family. And yet, you called us. And so, Father, there's nothing unique about us. There's no ability that really stood out between either one of us. We just made ourselves available. And so I pray for the listeners today that are listening, that if they're available, they know that they can trust through just our testimony and our life that you can use people who make themselves available. I love Henry Blackaby when he says, when God calls you into missions, calls you to join him in his work, there's got to make some changes. And sometimes we're kind of, a little scared to make those changes. But Father, those adjustments just draw us closer to you. And I pray that during this time, we'll just be called closer to you, understand who we are and the mission that you've invited us to. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, I too thank you and I praise you again for Charlie and Teresa. Thank you for the journey that they will be sharing about today. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that you actually do call every single disciple of Jesus Christ to, in the truest sense of the word, to be a missionary somewhere in the world, whether it's in their backyard or on the other side of the world. Help us to know, Lord, that we're all called to listen daily to your word and your spirit and simply follow you wherever that may lead. Help us to live a yielded life where we're yielding fully to your Holy Spirit every single day and as a lifestyle. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, again, Charlie and Teresa, just as we were speaking of beforehand, I had heard that Japan had not more than 1% Christian in their population, which again is a tragic statistic to me. But I'm going to invite you just wherever you feel like you want to dive in to share about your journey and the work the Lord called you all to.
Sure. So growing up in Oklahoma and Texas area, you know, everyone I knew kind of knew Jesus Christ, or at least knew God and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, they may not have all believed, but everyone that I came across kind of knew Creator God. You didn't have to go into a large debate on who God was. You could ask people if they're a sinner. They knew exactly what context you were speaking about. And so when I got into college, I got involved with Campus Crusade, and Bill Bright, the president at the time, had this vision in 1983 to bring all college campuses to one central location, which was Kansas City. And so he brought big names like Billy Graham came. Of course, Bill Bright was there. Josh McDowell was just kind of getting started. He was there. And then there was a lady, I'd never heard her name before, called Elizabeth Elliott. When Elizabeth came up on the stage and talked on endurance and used referenced Jim Elliott, man, it opened my eyes.
We'll pick up right there on the other side. Our in-studio guests today are Charlie and Teresa Seelan, as they're sharing today about their journey as missionaries to Japan. We'll be right back.
Your heart would break. Sometimes the morning
The music of Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guests today are Charlie and Teresa Seelan, again, missionaries to the nation of Japan. And so, Charlie, if you'll just pick up right there where you left, you were talking about Elizabeth Elliot speaking at that meeting in Kansas City.
Yes, and using her husband, Jim Elliot. At the time, I didn't know the story, and so she unfolded in front of that conference just her calling and to him and her and Jim to Ecuador to work with a certain people group. And then as they were learning the language and stuff, they learned about the Aqua Indians, who were very hard to reach. And so them and several other couples gathered together, started praying and moving forward. And at the end of that story, if you know the story, Jim Elliot and four guys are martyred for their faith, the Aka Indians there. And then the remarkable thing was in within a year or two, then Elizabeth goes in with Mrs. Saint, I believe, and then they end up winning the whole tribe. But what really caught me was there are actually people in the world that do not know the name of Jesus Christ. And that shattered my worldview, because my worldview had been in Oklahoma and Texas, around the area, everyone knew who God was. That was, and so to know that and to lean into what Jim and these guys had done, my whole growing up was playing football and motorbikes, and I was like leaning into anything kind of adventurous like that. And my faith kind of, God took that and wanted me to lean in to that. And man, yeah, I was ready. Sign me up for that journey.
That's powerful. Charlie, would you pray for believers to really allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to challenge their heart to grow, to have a compassion for people who've never heard of Jesus? Because sometimes in our humanness, we can be callous and self-centered to the point where our actions may say, I don't care. We may not ever say that with our mouth, but our actions. Would you pray for that?
Oh, absolutely. Dear Father, man, I find myself, even on this side of the Pacific, wrestling with that question that lawyer came and said, well, God, who is my neighbor? Who can that be? And yes, you've drawn us in to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And then to lean into that, into then love our neighbor as ourselves. What does that actually mean? The word neighbor and community and even the word love kind of has this broad context to it now. And even myself, I'm leaning into what's it look like to treat everyone like family? Like if I knew my sister, Father, was down the road and she was just brokenhearted, she was in need of something, would I not be right there on her front door? Like, here I am, what can I do? What can I share with you that transformed my life? And so, Father, I pray for our listeners that you draw us into not only be everyday followers, but as we make those adjustments of loving you with all our heart, mind, soul, looking at everyone as family, what would that take in our lives to do that? And not in our power, but in your power, because the end of that Great Commission is amazing. It says, you go with us. You go with us. So embolden us, Father, to love people and look them as image bearers of you, as family. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Teresa, tell us about you, the beginning of your journey and also how you all ended up in Japan.
Okay. Well, you know, for me, I had never met a missionary. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in and out of the church. And when I was in college, I went to the Baptist Student Union and we had a missionary come and speak. And I was like, wow. I never really had thought about missionary life. For me, I come from a small town in Oklahoma, and I was studying, getting my degree in education so that I could actually go and work overseas. I really did want to live overseas, but I wanted to be with the Department of Defense and be an elementary school teacher on a base somewhere, and that would allow me to travel the world. And I was just, that was my path. I had chosen that path, and that was what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. Well, during that time, there was a Christmas break. And my parents had given me a Bible, and I was taking care of an elderly lady and having to sit up all night to make sure if she needed anything. And as I was reading God's Word, I came to, which now so many people know this passage of Jeremiah 29:11. You know, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and plans to give you hope and a future." And as I was reading that, the Lord just spoke to my heart, and He, you know, "Teresa, I've given you the ability to teach. And I've given you your personality. I've given you all these things. But it appears that you're going to use those for your own glory, not for mine. And I want you to use what I've given you for my glory." And so I went back to college, and I had started, Charlie and I were friends. And I went back, I said, I want to share something with you. I feel like the Lord is calling me into missions. And that began our journey, because the Lord had already called Charlie into missions. He had went to Brazil, and so he was kind of holding back, waiting to see, you know, what was the Lord going to do in Teresa's life. And so the Lord used that time to call me into missions there. I didn't know what it was going to look like. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. And so that began our journey of looking at going overseas. And then that was when the Lord brought us to the point where we graduated from college and went into seminary. And during those 4 years, that's whenever we found out about the International Mission Board.
Okay. Well, why Japan? Tell us about how you all ended up in Japan.
And a lot of people ask us, you know, why Japan? And honestly, at that time when you were going to be a missionary with the International Mission Board, you went to a conference and there were all of these books in this big room laid out with all of these job offers. Like, people were looking for positions all over the world. And so we went and they said, try to find about 5 jobs and put those down. And so we'd look every day and then we'd go back and pray at our hotel and we'd write down something and we'd go back. And so we sent in those 5. And of those 5 that we sent in, none of those really worked. We didn't either have enough experience or it wasn't for what we needed to become church planters. And so they called us and they said, what about Pakistan? And we were like, well, we had never really thought about working with Muslims. Nobody was really talking about it at that time. And so we just began to pray. Well, the next day we got a phone call and they said that there is a job, a position in Hakodate, Japan, the northern island of Japan, and they're willing to waive your 5 years experience. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to do that? And so we prayed and we just had a peace about that. And we said, okay, Lord, we'll go and do, it was at that time, it was International Service Corps. You would go and serve for 2 years. And then you would come back, and that would give you the experience you would need to become full-time church planters. Not necessarily you would be in that country forever, but that it would be during that time. And so that's actually how we got to Japan the first time.
Mm. And so that's how you all started out in Japan. And what exactly did you all do when you first arrived in that mission capacity in Japan?
So the first thing is to make relationships. And so you look and see what the need is. And fortunately, the Japanese love to learn English. They are taught some of that in school. But to have a native speaker in that community, especially Hakodate up in the northern island, wasn't Tokyo or Osaka. It was pretty rural up there. And so to have two foreigners living in that area speak English, the native speakers from America, that was quite an attraction. And so Blake Western was our missionary name, and he was able to put us in, give tools in our hands, and we started teaching English. Of course, we're both majors, elementary ed majors, and so that was kind of right up our alley. And so we started opening up a room, and then from that, we were able to make relationships with our mothers, and then the moms were then able to speak English or go through English classes through that too. Mm-hmm. And you get in a relationship like that, start having conversations and speaking, you know, natural questions are going to come up like, what? Why are you here? What are you mm-hmm. doing? And who are you related with? And mm-hmm. and so you just start, we call them gospel nuggets. You know, we're just kind of sprinkling little gospel nuggets here and there. So you all go in
as teachers?
No, we actually went in as missionaries.
You can go in Japan underneath a religious activities visa, and so that's what we were there for. And mm-hmm. the missionary we were working with, Blake Western, he was in the beginning of a church start. Mm-hmm. He was working with a mother church there in Hakodate, and then he was doing a plant, and it was meeting in a little kindergarten, a Japanese kindergarten. And so every Sunday we would meet there, and it was through that that we were able to bring people to the church with us, and then we would teach English classes and things like that and do tract distribution and things just to get the word out.
Prayer walking, mm-hmm. things, yeah.
So that was kind of a rural area, you said, in Japan.
There was about 150,000 people living there at that time. Since that time, of course, it's grown greatly, but around 150,000 people, which in Japan, that's quite small. You know, Japan has a large...
That sounds huge to me.
You know, there's 127 million people in Japan, but currently only about 10% of the population actually live on the northern island of Hokkaido, which that's why you have these smaller communities that are there.
We were so small, we didn't even have McDonald's. KFC was there, but no McDonald's with 150,000. That's when you know you're rural.
So you all were a part of a church plant, as well as you taught English in the communities, and that's how you've started doing relationship building in that community then.
That's correct.
Yeah. We'll probably focus a lot of our time what God did with us in Osaka when we returned to Japan. But the great thing is when we returned for language study, we were invited by Blake to come up there. They actually had bought a building and built one. And so we went up there for the dedication. And several of our neighbors and people from the ESL mm-hmm. were part of that core group of church members. So, you know, we didn't see that on the front end, mm-hmm. but on the back end, wow, what a praise that was.
So in your work, do you see people respond pretty quickly? It's take a little while. What kind of response do you see as you all are working on relationship building and then moving towards sharing the gospel?
Well, you know, as we say, not everyone's the same, right? And we would watch to see where God was at work, and we would join him. Mm-hmm. If we saw a person was open and was open to the gospel, we would then invite them to have a Bible study with us. But I would say in the very beginning of our ministry, it was more difficult because people weren't as open, but we literally saw the Lord continue to spread his Holy Spirit throughout Japan and begin to work in the hearts of people, where the last 10 years of our ministry, we actually saw more people come to know the Lord. And as there was this opening, you know, especially after the triple disaster with the earthquake and everything in 2011, we really did begin to see more people open. And I think, honestly, it was just being available for them, to never tell them you're too busy, you know, to meet them, whether it was Charlie getting on a train to ride with a guy to work, mm-hmm. you know, or we would do these things. We was just making ourselves available for them and just listening to the Holy Spirit, which we knew he was at work in mm-hmm. the hearts of so many of them, because we know that none of us seeks the Lord on our own. And so it was just really being in tune with the Lord. But definitely we would see those that were open and begin to share the gospel, and to be able to see brothers and sisters come to know the Lord is something that is totally amazing.
I think that was one of the challenges, Pastor Parker, was to be able to balance the urgency mm-hmm. of the gospel. And, you know, we worked with an agency that was really trying to encourage and empower missionaries to be very urgent-minded, but also the balance that it's God that saves people. It's not us. You know, mm-hmm. we're ambassadors to share. And so one of the pastor's passages that became real, just a promise for Teresa and I as we moved and tried to balance urgency and sharing the gospel, is out of Mark 4, 26 and 29. The kingdom of God is as if a man who should scatter the seed on the ground. He sleeps and he rises at night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces itself, the first blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, at once he puts the sickle, because the harvest has come. And so as you hear, the farmer, he goes out and sows a seed, right? So we go out and we share. It's not us to change the heart, though. So the farmer was able to go to rest and sleep soundly, and then he wakes up, and there's growth. He doesn't know how, but then he leans into that growth and matures it more, and then when it's ripe, the Holy Spirit comes in, and he's able to make, you know, use of that growth. And so once we got a handle on that, that just really radicalized how we did ministry, because we thought the gospel could only look at was in a certain box. And if it wasn't in this certain box, then the gospel wasn't being shared. And we came to understand, like Teresa said, in the last 10 years, that the gospel discipleship takes 1,000 different steps to draw them into a relationship with who Jesus Christ is.
Okay. Well, we'll pick up there on the other side. Our in-studio guests today are Charlie and Teresa Seelan, missionaries to Japan. We'll be right back.
This is the story of a runaway with no way home and no way out. I threw the best of me away. I had my chance. It's too late now. Too far gone and too ashamed to think that you'd still know my name. But love refused to let my story end that way. You didn't wait for me to find my way to you. I couldn't cross that distance even if I wanted to. You came running after me when anybody else would have turned and left me at my worst. Love moved first.
Music of Casting Crowns with Love Moved First. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guests today are Charlie and Teresa Seelan, missionaries to Japan. And so just a question I'd like to ask you, Charlie and Teresa, just from your perspective, what were some of the biggest challenges you all dealt with living in Japan with the unique culture and different aspects of who they were as a people and as a nation?
I would probably have to say that one of the greatest challenges was language. You know, the Japanese language is one of the most difficult languages for Westerners to learn. I used to always think, I wish God would have sent me to an easier place as far as language was concerned. But, you know, it was also, everything was just so very different. We used to say, you know, in America, we dial 911. There they dial 119. And so it's just a way to look at how it was just completely opposite of everything that we knew. And it really caused us to have to really trust the Lord every single day, every moment, for how we were going to live and raise our children there. And so I would say culture shock was a big thing. There would be, you know, the smell of fish, you know, taking over the grocery store when you would go in, or people just staring at you because they hadn't seen a foreigner before, and just different things. You know, it is such a spiritually dark place. As we have mentioned, it's less than 1% Christian. There are temples everywhere. There are God boxes outside.
You know, and you what see, is the main religion there?
It is Buddhism.
Buddhism.
And then there's also Shintoism, which is an indigenous religion that was created that doesn't have a book or a follower. It was basically created to deal with those aspects of life that Buddhism didn't. And so it was kind of really intertwined. You've got 80-some percent are Buddhist and 80-some percent are Shintoist. And so it was really Shintoism believing that there's a God in everything. And so to talk about the one true God, we really had to go back at the beginning. And so did a lot of like, who is God and creator God, and we're made in his image, and then looking at sin. And so I think for us, one of the struggles, I think Charlie would agree, was just how do we explain the gospel in a way that is in their context, a way that they would understand. And so the Lord gave us, through teachers, mentors, those that would give us ways that we could share. And I remember my teacher telling me the testimony of him working for years to create this way. He's Japanese, our lead teacher. And finally, after many years of working on this, he was able to share with his brother, the last one in his family. There was, I think, five or six of them. He led his brother to the Lord. When his brother truly began to understand what sin was and how he was connected to sin because of the very first sin of Adam and Eve. And so that struggle for me, and I think Charlie would agree, was those areas of language, culture, and just sharing the gospel.
Things we take for granted here that are somewhat stressful, but like going to the doctor's office in a foreign country and knowing what words to say to describe what ails you could be kind of stressful, you know, and so we always kind of dread going to the doctor's office, although, you know, as the years went by, we were kind of getting more. But even like picking up, you know, a phone and ordering a pizza, you know, to study like, you know, 15, 20 minutes ahead of time to know what you wanted to say to put on your pizza became somewhat stressful. But, you know, all that, though, put us in a position to reach out, to ask for help. And the Japanese are always so grateful to help us. They're always appreciative when you struggle through trying to learn their language. And because that just kind of endears you to their heart. And so we learned really early on when they were asking questions about, you know, what's the difference between Protestants and Catholics? Or what is it, you know, some kind of theological thing that they probably really don't have no interest in, but they're just trying to save face. Gave us really an opportunity to say, you know what? This is like the woman on the well. You know, Jesus didn't pull any punches. He went directly to who he was and gave ideas of like, I am the living water, you know. And so when we started kind of wrapping our minds around that and drawing people into being in relationship with us, it really draws us in even more. And that culture shock and stress kind of dissipated because you were making these relationships.
Well, tell me, how did your children adjust to being in Japan and being the children of missionaries in the nation of Japan?
You know, being born there, they really didn't know much different. I mean, as far as, you know, they both were born there and raised there. But, you know, I think when they came back to America, it sometimes was a shock to them, but they also kind of looked at it as like this was like Disney World to them because their grandparents would give them all these gifts and, you know, and everybody's like, oh, you live in Japan, you know. So for them, it was a little different. And as they got older, we really tried to find friends for them, areas where they could be with other kids, you know, because Japanese kids, once they get in about third, fourth, fifth grade, they start going to cram school after school.
Cram school
is where they would study more in depth, say in math or science, as they're taking all these tests to be able to get into the right junior high and the right high school to go into the right college. And so there's just a big emphasis on education. And so a lot of our kids' friends kind of disappeared. And so we began to seek out, and we found other Christian families. Maybe the father was Japanese, but the wife was American, and they were homeschooling their kids. And so we all just came together and created this group. And I really think that helped our kids as they look back now, deal with loneliness and isolation.
Especially when, you know, they were the only foreigner in class. And I remember Hannah coming home one night and go, I want to dye my hair black. She was blonde hair, blue eyes. So,
Didn't want to be different.
She was tired of being different, you know. So things like this, when we were intentional to find other avenues and stuff to help them. But as far as traveling, you know, I think you have to be, 15 and a half to get a driver's permit, and then you're 16 to get a car. But in Japan, they were on the train, like, at 10 years old, 12 years old. Just the Japanese people were so protective. The Japan as a nation is so protective, and they really watch out for the kids. So our kids were very mobile very early on. And so that really helped, too, for them to be able to travel pretty quickly and around to friends and go to the movies, the mall, and things like that. So,
and I think it also affects their worldview. I think missionary kids, you know, a lot of times people are greatly concerned about taking their kids overseas or raising children overseas. But, you know, we're so truly grateful because our children have such a heart for the nations and they have such a heart for those that are hurting. And to see them now as adults and to see how they minister to other people and their love for the Lord, I just can't help but think that the Lord knew And he made that time in their life there. As times it was difficult, it wasn't always easy. But mm-hmm. we still see how the Lord really has used that time in their life to mold and make a beautiful tapestry even now as adults and how they serve.
Well, would you say our time is almost gone here? If someone's listening and they're thinking to themselves that maybe they would like to be a missionary to Japan, what would you say to them?
I would definitely reach out with the International Mission Board, the Southern Baptist part of that. And if you're a part of another denomination, hopefully you've got an international arm there that you can reach out to. But start putting those practices into now. You know, you are who you are. And so if you're able to kind of see everyone as family and lean into the idea of a casual introduction to someone could be the beginning of a discipleship process as you get to invite them to the house and get to know them and have relationships with them. And then you start opening up God's word or understanding the gospel as a whole, you know, what that means. Then those are good steps moving forward as you look at going abroad, because you're going to do very similar those things too. It's going to be a lifestyle, right? The lifestyle discipleship. And so putting those steps. Teresa?
Yeah, and I would also add that I would talk to my pastor. I would go and tell my pastor, this is what I'm thinking about. These are the things the Lord's put on my heart. And again, I always tell, you know, really dive deep into the Word and your relationship with the Lord. Because when you're overseas, everything that if you had a weakness on this side, it will be exasperated over there. Mm-hmm. You know, but and to just know the Lord. And also if it's Japan or wherever it is, learn about those people. You might even have people, if you're here in Tupelo, I guarantee you there are Japanese that live here. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has blessed us with a ministry to the Japanese here that are working with Toyota. And so just try to find internationals, even if you don't even know where the Lord's calling you. Mm-hmm. There might be an international ESL class in your area, and find that out and volunteer and be a part of that and get to know the people of the nations. Mm-hmm. And if you can, go on a mission trip. Go on a mission trip and see what that's like, because mm-hmm. then the Lord can use those mission trips. We have seen so many people through mission trips have come back. If you're a college student, you can do a summer internship overseas. And so we've seen the Lord take those internships and literally turn them into full-time missionaries. And mm-hmm. so there are just many avenues, but just seek the Lord and talk to your pastor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask, would each of you take about a 30 seconds or so to pray for the church, that the church would become much more missional in the way they challenge and encourage believers as well?
Sure.
Father, we just come before you, and Lord, we do thank you for the church. We do thank you for the people. And Lord, we do pray that the church would look outside of its doors and would see the lostness, because that is the greatest problem in the world, is lostness. And Lord, you are the answer. So we pray that our churches, that you would give them more mission-mindedness, that they would seek to see where the lost are in the world, and they would send workers into the harvest. Lord, it's there. You said, look, the fields are white unto harvest. So pray for workers. So Lord, we do pray that churches would reach out, that they would send, that they would go, Lord, and they would be a part and they would give, Lord, so that we can see a revival. We can see great things happening. We can see people come to know you. And in Japan, we always say, you know, Japan is the first to see the sun every morning. And Lord, we pray that the land of the rising sun, which it is called, would become the land of the risen sun. And we ask these things in his precious name. Amen.
Father, I do want to pray just a Luke 10, 2 through 9 over the church. Father, that you would have just a practice of prayer amongst your people. And as they pray, they are seeking, they're seeing the field is wide as harvest. And as you call us into a commission with yourself, they go into pockets of people. And as they go into pockets of people, you're allowing them to make relationships with those in the community. And then they're finding this person of peace, someone that's leaning in, and you're walking in and saying, God bless this house. And they're staying there and they're reaching out to community, so that then, Father, you have a people that culture has changed. And as Teresa said, you see a land like Japan where we say, may the land of the rising sun one day become the land of the risen sun. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Charlie and Teresa, for being with us and sharing about your mission journey. We really appreciate you being with us today. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day, a wonderful day to be saved, to commit your life to Christ. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now? Simply pray this prayer with us from your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily, to pray and seek you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Please pray for Brother Charlie and Teresa as they continue to be missionaries in a new capacity here, but also pray that God would send forth more laborers and pray that God will help you to be the missionary wherever God is calling you to as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.